CPL Commissioner. Just before we get started, just want to give you some rundown. Please keep your microphone on mute and until the Q&A section. Once the commissioner is completed his speaking notes, we will open the floor to questions. Please use the raise hand icon below on your screen. You will each be permitted one question, one follow-up question, and I will call on you. So people who haven't muted their mics, please mute their mics so there's no feedback. I'm just going to mute some people here. Okay, so we're going to get started. So I'd like to welcome Commissioner David Klanikin. He's first going to speak to you, give you an update on the kickoff and the arrivals of everyone in Winnipeg, and then we'll talk about the 2021 full season schedule format. Please mute your microphones. Go ahead, David. No. You're muted, David. David, your microphone is on mute.
It should be now.
Okay, there we go. Sorry.
I think you may.
I might have muted everybody. Apologies.
Mickey's been trying to do that for years. Anyways, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for joining us. I just want to give you a few details on what's been happening in Winnipeg with the kickoff. All eight clubs have arrived, and they're all in the bubble and getting accustomed to bubble life as they would. Since the arrival, everyone that has had COVID-19 testing prior to traveling to Winnipeg, they've all had that. And then they've had three tests in the first 7 days in Winnipeg. And then from there on forward, because I know you're going to ask this, there'll be two tests every week along with daily screening. I'm happy to also inform you that everyone in the bubble has been negative, so we haven't had any positive tests whatsoever, but you would expect that from us because we take these health and safety protocols very seriously. We have approximately 275 people, coaches, players, officials, league staff, and broadcast staff in the bubble. And the clubs themselves have been regularly training at IG Field and two practice fields, Bison Field and Waverly Soccer Complex. And we'd like to take this opportunity with all of you, but to thank the province of Manitoba and the city of Winnipeg, and also Valor FC, one of our member clubs, who've provided us so much assistance and been very welcoming. There's no doubt the people of Manitoba, the governments, have not only opened their doors, but their hearts and their minds to us, and they're very encouraging by having us there. Everyone really has come together to make this happen, and we're excited to start playing this Saturday. We're excited for the kickoff weekend to get started with doubleheader matches on Saturday and Sunday. And as you know, all matches are broadcast exclusively via the CPL's media partner, One Soccer. So that's my update on the kickoff at this point in time. Mickey, you want to take over, please?
Yep, I'm just going to share the screen, and then David, you can go ahead and take everybody through the season format.
Sure. Thanks, Mickey. So the 2021 CPL season will have eight clubs playing 112-match season with 28 matches per club in a single-table format. Upon the completion of the kickoff on July 24th, clubs will return to their home markets to continue the season, where they will play in an unbalanced schedule, 16 games against teams in their region, and four more against teams that they are already playing against in Winnipeg, ensuring the matchups focus on minimizing travel and maximizing rest for players as much as possible for the season. A single table format provides fans with a more competitive season that creates what we believe are very exciting matches right to the end of the season, where every match will count. The top four clubs will move on to a one-match elimination playoff series, in other words, one versus four, hosted by the first place club, and two versus three, hosted by the second place club, to proceed to the one match 2021 final. In this way, all teams are encouraged and incented to finish first and second and always play for every game as if it was to the right to the end of the schedule. Our focus here was to deliver a full season with great competitive play throughout for our players, coaches, fans, and supporters. And of course, we've been very clear that we're very optimistic that we'll be playing in front of fans once we get back to our home markets, and fans and supporters will be welcome. We don't yet know all of the details yet, but things are looking real good in Canada right now for opening up of spectator sport, professional spectator sport in Canada. But we'll be working behind the scenes while we're in Winnipeg at the kickoff to make sure that we're ready in our home markets to host people. With this format, we have made every match competitive, as I said, and meaningful. By adding a fourth team to the playoff series, our clubs will battle to the end to be able to host a semifinal in their market and be in the lead position so they potentially could host the 2021 final at home for their fans and supporters should they make it through the semifinal round. Maybe now, Mickey, we can open it to questions.
Yep. Let's, again, keep your microphones on mute, please, and raise the hand icon, and I will call upon you. One question, one follow-up question. Okay, so we're going to start with Paul Friesen. If you don't mind just identifying your media outlet before you start the question. Thank you.
Sure. It's Paul Friesen from the Winnipeg Sun. Thanks for doing this, David. And just wondering if there's any chance at all of fans sometime maybe later in the bubble, since the province of Manitoba is opening that door. I know the details aren't there yet, but are you hopeful of that?
Yeah, Paul, thank you very much, and thanks for coming on the call. And again, thank you again to our hosts in Winnipeg for bringing us there. I am very hopeful for it. Having said that, I will be very clear. It's up to the provincial health ministry and Valor FC, along with the city of Winnipeg, to make that decision. And we've been very clear with our club there that it's their call, because after all, they have to follow all the protocols and everything else that have to happen. But I can tell you right now that Wade Miller and his group there are excited to do that if there's an opportunity for it. So I can guarantee you this: if we have the opportunity to do it, we'll be doing it. So thanks again for that question, Paul.
Thank you. I do not have a follow up at this time.
Thanks, Paul. We'll go on to Moses. Hey, Moses.
Thanks, Mickey. Thanks, Dave, for doing this. Appreciate it, as always.
Thanks, Moses.
The question for you would be in regards to the playoff format. Were there multiple discussions in terms of how it would fit? And just discuss why the one, or just the top four, just seemed the most appropriate for you.
That's a great question, Moses, because there was lots of discussions around the Board of Governors, and we involved every club and the Board of Governors in that discussion, including our competition committee that has representatives from all the teams in our league, along with the league office. You know, at the end of the day, we looked at it. We knew that because of the unbalanced schedule, it would be fair to add a fourth club and to change the format that way to allow that to happen. We also looked at the time of year that we'd be finishing, because we had always been focused against getting our full season in. We wanted to get as much soccer in front of our fans and supporters as possible. And so we balanced off a number of items, but we thought this idea of the single elimination in the semifinal and then with a single game final would really kind of lead to a penultimate. The idea was to keep everyone playing as much as possible for that towards that end of the season. One of the things we learned in PEI at the Island Games last year, and I was in the stands with the few amount of fans that we could get in to see the games last summer, when on the last weekend before we actually split the league into the four teams that were moving forward, we had seven clubs that could potentially be in those top four in that last weekend. And even the eighth club, who had been eliminated, could potentially have played a big spoiler role. So it was the talk of the country at the time, and we knew that that's what we wanted to try and really drive for as we set this up. So I think we did that. A lot of it was also to, as I said earlier, because of the unbalanced schedule, we thought it would make sense to add that fourth team as well to make sure that we didn't, you know, leave somebody behind that maybe deserved to be there.
And lastly, David, I know you guys within the CPL have come out with a bunch of scenarios when it comes to after the fact, playing at these home facilities. And say if there is another wave that comes in, you know, God forbid, but if it does, what are some of the things that you guys have in place? Do you have a contingency plan where you might have a Winnipeg 2.0?
Yeah, we've talked about a number of things, Moses, but right now we are very focused on the kickoff in Winnipeg, and we're watching the provinces as they start to open up. We obviously, we've heard announcements. We need to follow. There's going to be protocol setups that have to be done. Clubs are going to be back at the offices of the clubs are going to be back at home working through the logistics and everything that needs to happen. We actually believe that, you know, the country is moving in the right direction. I agree. There's always that chance something could happen. But I think the way Canadians have embraced this idea of getting their vaccines, and now that the second dosage shots now are over 20% and climbing every day, that's a good thing too. So, you know, as Canadians, we're relatively good rule followers. And I think in this case, that stands as in good stead, right? So, and I think people are just, they want to do the right thing because we miss live sports so much. So we have other alternatives that we can work on. No issue whatsoever. It's amazing when you're able to do a couple of these things and you do it relatively seamlessly. I mean, it's kind of like a duck on a pond, right? Above the water, it looks like the duck's all calm, but underneath the, you know, those feet are kicking like you've never seen. So, but now that we've done it and hopefully everything goes the same way in Winnipeg, we become very adept at it and we can be creative and nimble, and we've set ourselves up for that. For that specific reason, Moses.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, you.
Thanks, Moses. We'll go next to, I'm thinking it's Jack at CPL Fever. Hi, Mickey. Hi, Commissioner. So this is Jack Murray from CPL Fever. So my question for you is, you've done like a fantastic job getting two seasons to us during COVID. I think you've done an amazing job with getting like the season underway. So other than getting fans back in the stands and going back to our home markets later on in the season, do you have any other big goals or small goals you are hoping to achieve by the end of the season?
Well, first of all, thanks for the question, Jack. It's a great question. It seems like a lifetime ago that you and I sat down at PEI. So thanks very much again for that. That was a great day for me. No, I think, you know, when you said getting a full season in a year like we've got now, following the year we had last year, I think that's very important. Getting playing in front of our supporters and our fans is extremely important for us. Doing it all in a way that we make sure that everyone stays safe, our players, our clubs, our coaches, our fans and supporters, those are important things to us. If we can get that all done, that's great. I also, you know, I've got high hopes for Forge FC, our champion from last year in CONCACAF. I hope they do really well there. And I think the idea here is just to create great competition amongst the CPL. I've seen the roster lineups and I've watched how the teams have been built, Jack, and I think that that we're in for even better competitive football this year than we had last year, which was even better than 2019. So if we can continue to get better every year, if we can be entertaining and we do things right, I think that's I think we might get pretty straight A's on that report card. So I'll be happy with that.
Yeah, I think that you've been doing great. The CPL is doing great. The level has gone up each year. And yeah, it was forever since we last talked. I am so happy to ask you a question today. So thank you again. I do not have a follow up question for you today, but thank you.
Thanks again, Jack.
Thanks, Jack. We'll go on to Louis. Hi, Louis.
Hi, Mickey. Hi, Commissioner. I just have a question, obviously, with One Soccer as our media partner here, and the World Cup qualifying's coming up, and, you know, Alphonso Davies and all the great stars for Canada who are doing great things. How does the league plan on capitalizing on kind of where we are right now in this moment in this country with this sport?
Well, again, you guys have got some good questions today, but here's the deal. You always do, but you know, when we look at the sport today in our country, it's really on the rise, really on the rise. The fact that our men's team is doing so well and moving into the octagonal, and the women's team and how they're playing at a national level. I mean, the sport is on the rise. You look at the amount of Canadians now that are headlining for a lot of big clubs overseas, and the hardware, the pile of hardware that's being brought home based on how they're playing. We're going to do our part. We're going to continue to grow the league and be the North Star for those younger people that want to play the game at a higher level in this country. And we want to make sure that we are part of that program that develops younger talent as we move forward, not just for 2022, but for 2026. You know, I think the key thing here is just to keep doing what we're doing, get competitive, send teams down to CONCACAF, do well in CONCACAF, and come back with, again, those great report cards from other countries. And I think that just takes the game and takes it to the new level. It's up to all of us to take this great game, this the only truly global game, in my opinion, and take it to its proper place in this country. And I think we'll all do that together.
Thanks, David. No follow-up. Have a great season.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Louie. We'll go on to Adam Kostanyuk. I think I did that right.
You did. Thanks, Mickey. Thanks, David, for taking the time. From year one to year two, I think the originally proposed 2021 schedule, the league did a great job of listening and hearing. You had sort of less congestion in the fixture list, better kickoff times to get more bums in seats. In an ideal scenario, will that be the MO post-Winnipeg bubble, or with so many unknowns, is the little duck going to keep kicking like crazy under the pond?
Yeah, so you're right. We had the luxury of being able to build our schedule. If 2020 had not happened the way it did, we had the opportunity to do a different schedule because we were starting in early April. We were able to stay away from midweek games, if you remember, in the first month and a half of the season and also after Labor Day. The fact that we've lost April and May and June and we're not starting really till almost the beginning of July, we've had to compress quite a bit. So we had to pivot, you know, again, be more creative. So Adam, that's the important thing. We're prepared to do it and we'll do it this year. It'll be interesting to see what happens next year. I was asked that question the other day. What are you going to do about next year? Would you go back to the format you were thinking about for 2020? And the answer is maybe. And I'm not being coy about it. I think that you just don't know. I wouldn't want to, put a pin in it right now because we are so creative and I look to our soccer operations people and our clubs to say what's the best way and what are Canadians really looking for at the time. But I will tell you this. We'll always do the right thing, and we'll do it for, you know, with input from our fans and supporters as well.
Awesome. Thanks a ton. No follow-ups. Good luck with the sort of opening salvo on the weekend. Can't wait.
Thanks, Adam.
Cheers.
Thank you, Adam. We'll move on to Eric Fox. Go ahead, Eric.
Hi, David. Eric Fox from CKDJ 107.9 at Algonquin College in Ottawa. Just had a quick question. What kind of work went into deciding that Winnipeg was going to be the place to go to start this season instead of returning to the PEI bubble, for example?
Yeah, it's a great question, Eric. I think, you know, one of the things, it's not a lot of people realize this, but we were being courted by 11 different sites, four international countries, including the United States. Five international countries, one in Europe, the United States was another, and three in the Caribbean. We also had six venues that were looking for us to go to them in Canada. What really happened was it was more the when we could start in Manitoba, the government of Manitoba, along with the provincial health ministry there and the city of Winnipeg. They stepped forward and really came to us with an opportunity to get started earlier than others. And so that and the fact that we have Valor FC as one of our member clubs there, knowing that we would be able to leverage what we've already built there, we thought that was the right thing to do. So it's very interesting because I think as well as we did with the Island Games in Prince Edward Island, and by the way, phenomenal hosts, phenomenal people, you know, opened their homes and their hearts and their doors to us when we went there. But this was the right thing to do for us in this year. So that's why we ended up in Winnipeg and in Manitoba.
Awesome. And for a follow-up, as someone who covers mainly Atletico Ottawa because I am located in Ottawa. What would you have to say to the fans of the team who have had a team for now a second year, haven't been able to actually see them live at TD Place yet, and won't until at some point later this summer?
Well, I will say this to the Atletico Ottawa fans. You have waited a long time, and you've been extremely patient but passionate, and I can't wait to be at that first home game in Ottawa to watch Atletico Ottawa play. And I can promise you this, I will be there for that game because I think there's a huge amount of pent-up emotion and anticipation for that game up there, and I expect those stands to be rocking on that game.
Awesome. Thank you. We'll move on to Taylor Allen. Go ahead, Taylor.
Thanks, Mickey. Hey, David. It's Taylor Allen from the Winnipeg Free Press. I imagine this bubble can't be cheap. I mean, the flights, the hotels, the buses, the meals, all the signage, and you guys are going on almost 2 years now without having any butts in the seats. So just financially, how are you guys pulling off this bubble here in Winnipeg?
So a lot of it is commitment from the clubs. There's no doubt. You know, the clubs have got to, you've got to invest in your business. And that's what's happening. It's happening in businesses right across Canada, Taylor. You know that. It's one of those things. It also means that, you know, you've got, the government of Manitoba and tourism in Winnipeg, and economic development, they're also helping as well. They saw what we did at the Island Games and they saw how much we were able to promote the province and the city of Charlottetown out there. And so it was millions of dollars of value that they got out of it. So that worked well. I'm not saying it's dollar for dollar. They're not giving us that level of contribution, but they've stepped up for sure. They've helped us also negotiate some good deals with hotels and things like that. So that's all part of it. But we make sure that we give back a lot in kind as well. So, but that's the vast majority of this really does come from the league and from the clubs. The owners have to step forward, and that tells. You know, what it shows to me is that we've got owners that are committed and they are patient and they understand that you need to invest in things before they can grow to where you would like them to be. And I think we've shown that now in 2 years. I wouldn't want to do it forever because the reality is, you know, when it comes to entertainment, especially spectator sports, you need bums and seats. That's what pays the bills. So, but hopefully we've almost got that behind ourselves, Taylor.
And just jumping back to what Moses asked earlier, I'm not trying to be negative, but I mean, who knows what could happen this year. So just how devastating would it be, though, if these teams aren't able to return to their home markets and you guys play the season? And just how confident are you that this league can survive this pandemic?
Oh, no, listen, we will survive. I think there's a famous song like that, but no, Taylor, we will survive. I'm very confident that the country's going to come out of this in the right way, but we also have contingency plans. We know what we can do. Listen, there's too much at stake here. This league, we need this league. This game needs this league in this country. And we've heard that loud and clear from every corner of the country. So we're ready for it. Sure, we wouldn't be happy about it, but you get creative, you pivot, you get nimble, you do what you have to do. And I think, you'd probably agree. We've done that in our short term that we've been around so far, Taylor.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Taylor, we'll move on to Neil Davidson. Go ahead, Neil.
Thank you, Mickey. Hi, Commissioner. I hope you and your family are well.
Everyone's well, Neil. Thank you very much. Hope yours are the same.
Yes, thank you. Under your schedule, what date would the championship game be?
Right now, it'll be in the second week of November.
Okay. And a quick follow-up, if I may. Do you have a sense of the vaccination rate of your players, your teams?
Yeah, yes, we do. I'm not sure, Neil, if I'm allowed to tell you that, but we are well over 80% in our league and all the people that are in the bubble. So we're above that number. Obviously, we can't mandate. Nor would we mandate that everyone be vaccinated. But we are over 80% at this point in time.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, Neil.
Thank you, Neil. We'll move on to Alan Hudes.
Thanks, Mickey. Hi, David. Alan Hudes from U Sports.
Hi, Alan.
Hi there. Nice to chat with you again. And thanks for doing this. With the U Sports Championship planned, of course, for the fall coming up as well, as announced last summer, and some of the U Sports conferences in recent days starting to announce their schedules and the membership as well, announcing all of their key dates and schedules. Just how excited are you and the league as a whole, first and foremost, to welcome a new class of U Sports draftees to the league to showcase themselves, but also to in anticipation of eventually getting back into the home markets, your CPL markets, to be able to showcase the league to potential future CPL players from the U Sports ranks.
Yeah, no, you know, Alan, we've got a great relationship with U Sports, as you know. We're very bullish on it. Every year we've brought U Sports players in, and we've seen great success with that. It's about developing young Canadians and giving them a chance. When we first announced our partnership with U Sports, one of the things that Canadians fed back to us was, well, of course we would do that here. Why can't you play professional football and as well as get an education at the same time? And we had big kudos for that, both U Sports and the CPL for doing it. So I think it's great, and you know, can't wait to do it. Getting back into the home markets, that's one of those things where a lot of the U Sports players are playing for local teams that where they can be seen by others they know, right? Having said that, we're also seeing U Sports players travel to other centers to play for our teams. So more and more it's gaining momentum with us, and we're really pleased with the whole program with U Sports.
Awesome. Thanks. Have a great season.
Thanks, Alan.
Thank you, Alan. We'll move on to John Molinaro.
Hi, David. Thanks for taking the time to speak to me. Hope you and your family are well. You know, this season, the league is going into its third season, and obviously it's won the hearts and minds of a lot of, you know, hardcore soccer fans in the country. So how does the league sort of expand its fan base beyond that pool of fans to grab more sort of casual sort of soccer fans and more just general sports fans in order to gain more relevancy within the Canadian sporting landscape?
That's a good point, John. Well, there's a couple of things. Obviously, it's distribution of the sport for sure. You've got to make sure you've got proper distribution, and we're doing a lot of that with One Soccer. But there's interest by people to see our games. They want to see the games. I think the sport itself, and this is where we all the entire ecosystem, all of you, all of us, everybody has to pull together on this. We know that this sport won't be built by one person or one organization. It has to be built by all of us. And so it's a number of things all coming together. It's whether it be MLS clubs or CPL clubs, whether it's the men's and women's national team, whether it's Forge playing in CONCACAF, whether it's our league playing, whether it's, you know, the next level down in Ontario at League One. It's all of those things happening together where we're talking about soccer all the time in this country, right? It's about success of individual Canadian players playing overseas, whether it be either men or women in some of the professional clubs over in Europe, winning in teams where they're leaders in those teams, the Alphonso Davies of the world, the Jonathan Davids of the world, you know, the Kyle Aarons of the world that are actually in there, and Christine Sinclair, they're bringing home hardware where they've won it, and they're playing at the highest levels of football globally. So I think that's really what starts to get people interested in it. And then we've got a generation of young people, John, that are all growing up playing this game much more than they've played any other sport before. Soccer now is the highest participation sport in this country, bar none. Right. We've talked about hockey versus soccer in the 5 and 6 year old category in the past. Right. We're bringing those young people along. The most important thing was to have that pathway built where everybody feels they can stay in the game. Right. And be part of it. And those who want to aspire to be better or the best, there is a pathway for them. We're doing all of the right things. It takes time, you know, famous saying when they did the big dig in Boston. Mm. I said it to you before. If Rome wasn't built in a day, if it was, they'd have hired their contractor. I feel that every single day, John. So, but that's what we have to keep on. It's a mission for sure.
Great. And just a quick follow up, if I may. I'm just wondering, has there been any talk between the league and the Professional Footballers Association of Canada with regards to recognition of the players' union, or is that on hold for now?
No. Look, today, I'm focusing on, celebrating the whole kickoff of our 2021 season and sharing all the exciting news, right? The past year's been, like, we've done a tremendous, filled with a lot of hard work. There's a lot of determination and endless hours of legwork that we've put into this. So we've been focused on being able to deliver a season so our players can play and our fans and supporters can get to see games, because they've waited and they've been so anxiously awaiting this for a full season of CPL football. But that's what we're focused on right now, and we'll move forward with the other later on.
Thank you, John. We'll move on to Brian Wong.
Good day, Commissioner. Brian from Omni TV, FIFA Sports Independent Producer. Couple quick questions, I guess. Going back to partnership with One Soccer, could you quickly comment on the 2020, the season? What pragmatic approach, pivotal approach, especially the results that you get, the measurement, for lack of information outside, but the viewership numbers, how do you value this, and what kind of numbers projection you're looking forward to? Especially we're talking about streaming platform versus cable companies in this case, how pivotal it was 2020 and what it is like in 2021.
Well, I mean, we don't have the 2021 numbers at this point in time, but we are working through that. Last year, I mean, we saw our games globally sent and streamed into and broadcast into over 100 million homes. Now, it means that people have to turn on the channel, right? That's the important thing, right? But the opportunity was there. So I think we're doing the right things. We're having the right conversations. I know One Soccer and through their Parent Media Pro are working hard behind the scenes for us. It's a big part of it. It's, as John just talked about, how do you grow the game? You grow the game by getting it in front of people. So we're working on that, and we'll do all the right things. But again, it's something that you've got to work with. You've got to work hard at. We tend to, in this country, we think in duopolies, right? Like, we don't necessarily look at everything that's out there. So the reality is, people are now, though, becoming more, they have more choice when it comes to what they watch on their television. And so I think people are looking at television in a different way than they did in the past. I've got a house full of teenagers and 20 early 20 somethings, and the way they watch television is nowhere near what my older kids or even myself and my wife watch television. It's very, very different. That's all changing. So I think we're in the right space, and we'll continue to work on it.
A quick follow-up question, not necessarily on my first one, but on someone who have mentioned already about growing the game through distribution, partnership with One Soccer. But beyond that, I have worked with Mickey in particular on getting, permission to rebroadcast in a different language. Now Rogers have done it, Pinoy, baseball, Hockey Night in Canada in Punjabi. I work for the Calgary Flames as a Chinese host. We have not seen that to expand and explode yet, but I see there are some market-driven decisions, business decisions behind it. But between now and then, in terms of opening up the commons, the creative commons of your footage to more independent producers like me and many other, what's your take on that?
Well, I understand what you're saying, and I don't necessarily disagree with you, but I do have partners that I have to work with, right? And so they have rights in the contract they have with us. So I will take that suggestion, and I'll take it back to our friends at Media Pro and One Soccer, and see if what we can do about it. But I appreciate your thought, and thanks again for pushing us.
Thank you, Commissioner. Good day.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. We'll go on to Jason Paul. Go ahead, Jason.
Thanks a lot, Mickey. Hey, David, it's Jason from the Young Gaffers here. As the league continues to grow with the number of clubs, quality of play we've seen, attendances most likely, and then you got the recent success of the national team, World Cup is just around the corner. We see CPL players going out on loan or transferred to other leagues around the world. I'm curious from your perspective, what type of interest are you seeing in terms of investment interest in the league and specifically internationally?
Another great question, Jason. I think, you know, when we were fortunate to meet our friends and partners now from Atletico Madrid, that changed the world for us. We had already been having talks with different clubs. You know, everyone wants to poke a little bit, kick the tires, see what's going on over here in Canada. You got to remember, people love this country around the globe, right? They really do. And so there's a genuine interest there right away. But when Atletico Madrid stepped up and said, you know, we'd like to own a club in the CPL, that changed everything because it validated what we were doing. And I think that only gets better. Now, yes, are we talking to other clubs across the world? Yes, we are. Can I tell you who they are? No, I can't, because we have, you know, we signed these non-disclosure agreements. But we're very bullish on the fact that we've got a tremendous pipeline for expansion here. And that's going to be that I'm extremely excited about, because again, people, you look at the big clubs across the world, they want to grow their brands. They can only grow their brands to a certain level when it comes to fans and supporters, but they need to grow them from an economic perspective as well. And so you can see some of the clubs that have already been doing that. Everyone's looking at the same thing. And of course, they see the level of opportunity for athletes to be created as great soccer players coming out of this country. It starts with a small amount, right? But it's growing. You can see it now. And it's that snowball running down the hill. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so yes, are people talking to us? 100%. Can I tell you who they are? No.
Understandable. Thanks, David. That's exciting.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. We'll go on to James. I'm guessing James Grossi.
Thanks, Mickey. David, I know today's a little bit more about looking forward to the season kicking off, but I was hoping you could recount some of the challenges you guys have had in terms of putting this all together. And more specifically, was there ever a moment of doubt where you feared it wouldn't happen?
No, I didn't. I there's a number of you on the phone that have talked to me multiple times over the years, and I'm a glasses half full kind of guy, James. I always look to the optimism. I was taught a long time ago, one of the best lessons I had in business was, I had a CEO who said to me all the time, so now you've told me all the reasons why you can't do it, now tell me how you're going to do it, right? And you know, where's the silver lining in this? There is always a silver lining in every cloud. So the reality is, was there times where you kind of wrung your hands and said, where are we going to get to this? Yes. But having said that, we have a group of owners that said, we have to play. So now tell us how you're going to do it. And that's the words I understand, and our whole team understands that, right? So I think, you know, I was never worried about going dark. Never going to happen. That's the last thing you want to do in a new business, right? And so, and I call it a business. It's a sport, but it's also a business. And so no, we knew something was going to have to be done. What we had to maintain is we had to maintain the creativeness and the nimbleness that we've shown that we're able to do. And if, as long as we were ready, as soon as somebody hit the go button, we'd be ready to go. And so that's what kind of got us through it, James.
Excellent. And just a quick follow-up. It's a bit of a big picture one, but you've touched on it a little bit here today, but how do you define success for the league this year? What does that look like for you?
Well, yeah, as I said, you know, I want to see a great competition at the kickoff in Winnipeg. I want to see that full season in. I want to see that playoff structure and single game final come off without a hitch, and everybody be absolutely blown away with the fact that everybody's in it right to win it right to the end, right? We can do all of that, and then we see, you know, we see Forge FC do well in CONCACAF, even go further than they did last year, which, by the way, was a fantastic run for them. And we've had a lot of kudos, and a lot of people had their eyes opened by, you know, one of our clubs doing that. But I'd also like to see more of our players playing at the international level too. And so we're seeing a little bit more of that. So hopefully we can see even more this year. Those are the types of things that you want. And then continue to see the game grow in Canada. I want more fans in the stands. I want every day to be Christmas. I want more fans in the stands. I want more people watching it on broadcasts, whether it be linear or OTT. Just growing the following, I guess, of the CPL. I don't probably speak enough about this, but our supporters clubs that are in the cities where we are operating, they're fantastic. I mean, they themselves are bringing more and more people into this game than ever. And they are truly partners in this whole thing too. So that's what I hope for. It's a long list. I don't know. You think Santa will bring me all those things? Maybe. Hopefully.
I hope so as well. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks, James. We'll go to Steve Milton. You must be happy we can get haircuts starting.
Yeah. I know. I just I keep grabbing my guitar and playing songs from Woodstock.
Uncle Milty looks like he's ready to go back to Woodstock.
Well, this is it. This is it. Two disparate questions, David, here. The first one a little more mundane. You mentioned League One Ontario earlier. Where are you sitting with that? It was supposed to start July 2nd. Is it still sitting that way?
Well, right now, based on what Ontario's talking about today, we could be playing as early as early July, but again, Steve, we're into all the protocols and everything else. So we've talked to the clubs about more towards we've been kind of red circled the end of July. So we're in good shape that way. We're very pleased that our clubs are happy that we want to get going and they want to play, right? Yeah. At that next level, younger people, they want to get out on the field. They want to run, right? They want to get out and compete. So we're really, we've had a lot of support from those League One clubs and we're very happy about it. Much the same as the CPL clubs. CPL, I mean, the players have been fantastically patient, but let's be honest, it's time to go and they're ready for it.
This, the second one, can you say what the Senate vote on Tuesday single game betting kind of effect that would have? I would assume it's symbiotic in a way. Sometimes it'll get more people in the stadium, but it'll also get more interest. What can you talk about with the what kind of financial effect it might have on your league?
Well, we've not really. I wouldn't say we put numbers to it at this point in time. As you know, we have we just signed a deal with Come On. So we've done that. So, but having said that, in sport in general, you see that single sport or single game betting has become kind of the way of things. We're behind the rest of the world as far as that's concerned. It's not something that I spend a lot of time thinking about. It's going to happen here. And I think it'll be good because it does drive interest. You know, we're competitive that way. I don't do a lot of single sport. I don't do a lot of sports betting myself, but, that's just me.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Steve. So it looks like we're done with questions. I'll do a quick last call. Any last questions? Okay, so just a couple of updates for everybody, just in case. We have started our pre-match coaches press conferences. They started today. We're going to attempt to, as much as possible, to do them match day minus one, but in some cases it will be match day minus two, just given the very robust schedule that we have. If you're not receiving those alerts, please let me know and I will make sure you're on all the appropriate lists. There will be post-match press conferences immediately following each match, starting on Saturday. If there's any questions, you need more information, I just shared the press release with everybody, so hopefully you got everything, but if you didn't, please reach out to me, and I will make sure you get what you need. Otherwise, we look forward to seeing you all virtually watching at 2 p.m. Eastern on Saturday when FC Edmonton takes on Atletico Ottawa. So thank you again, Commissioner, and thank you, everybody, for joining the call.
Can I throw in one more question?
Yep. Go ahead, Paul.
Sorry to interrupt. That's okay. Paul Friesen here from the Winnipeg Sun again. You mentioned the vax rates, Commissioner, and I know the National Hockey League, when their teams reached a certain threshold, 80%, they were given some more freedoms for meeting in person and things like that. I just spoke with Rob Gale here of Valor, and he says his players and coaches, they're still completely isolated, and they can't even go out into the community at all. Is there any threshold incentive loosening of restrictions for teams that do reach certain thresholds?
Not at this point in time, Paul. Not at this point in time. It could happen, but again, it's not a league thing. It's more a provincial health officer, provincial medical officer's call, and it's obviously with the government as well, right? At the end of the day, it's the Manitoba government that makes that decision. So yes, we just believe it's the right thing to do. Like I'm proud to tell anybody that asks me, I'm getting my second shot on Saturday, and I'm happy for it. Right. Because I think, we need to do that. It's the right thing to do. I mean, I get it. There are some people can't for medical reasons or other, but wherever possible, we need to make sure that we maintain safety in the cities and provinces and country that we live in. Right. And I think we've done a good job so far, but yeah. So yeah, could it happen? Yes, I think it could. Are we going to control that? No. That's going to have to be something that comes out of it. But again, as I said, you've heard me say before, I am the eternal optimist. So it would be great if they do. But I'm very grateful for what Manitoba and the city of Winnipeg is doing for us, right now. And they deserve a lot of kudos for inviting us to come and do this as a start. And then we'll be back into our home markets, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So
yeah, they did announce yesterday that the restaurants are opening and things like that, and people who are fully vaxxed can actually dine with other households. So I thought maybe that would give players some more freedom, but as far as you know, not yet.
When they say fully vaxxed, though, Paul, I think they're referencing two doses, right?
So, yes, two doses plus 14 days.
Yeah, and so we're the population right now is still catching up. I think we're about, I want to say 21.5% is the number that we have for two doses right now in Canada. We're still just below 70% on single dose. Mm-hmm. So the gap is still pretty wide there. As you can imagine, I'm rattling these numbers off because I'm looking at them every single day.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's interesting because now you're seeing the U.S. catch up. The gap is smaller between single and double dose. And certainly in the U.K., they're seeing the same thing. So again, it's not about what we're dealing with today. It's what do we deal with with these variants, right? And this is not cry wolf thing. This is just, let's be prepared and be ready. So yeah, we'll follow the protocols and we'll do what we need to do. And if we're allowed to do some other things, and it opens up a little bit, even better. But right now we're very pleased that we're getting started with the kickoff.
Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay, and that we will call it a wrap. There will be a recording of this available probably need about 10.